The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th, when insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about that. My predecessor, for all his tough talk on China, it never occurred to my predecessor to do any of that. My team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing.
Talked about Snickers and snack chips
before
he ever got to the border. He was obsessed with his political rival more than he was obsessed with the condition of the American people. It was so weird. This guy lectures us all on unity, the soul of the nation, and he gives the most partisan convention speech in place of a State of the Union that I've ever heard. It's the literal opposite of unity. It's so partisan. He's obsessed with taunting Republicans. It's not statesmanlike.
This is the 36th of these for me, State of the Unions or presidential addresses at the beginning, first one being 1989. Never heard one so political. Never heard one that is such a campaign speech.
It was a very political State of the Union address.
Well, it had some political aspects to it, mostly generated by the audience saying four more years. But perhaps amnesia has set in on the disgraceful speech that Donald Trump gave to the chamber.
The one you ripped up?
Well, there were so many disgraceful.
He did nothing to appeal to them. He yelled quite often throughout the speech, and it came across as someone who talks about how this lifting up this country and this country is getting better. He just came across as very angry, and it was, in my view, extremely partisan. For him to mention Donald Trump so early, his predecessor many times, for him to use his name or mention him early and so often, this was more of a start of a campaign speech and not a State of the Union speech.
It's like Richard Palmer said in the morning brief, when CNN and the AP are saying that this was combative and partisan and political and divisive, You know, this was a very unusual State of the Union address. Now, they didn't all say that. Over at the morning meltdown, there was no meltdown. They were just gushing over Biden's energy and his mental acuity. We'll come to that a little bit later and much, much more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for this final show of the work week. You can get to the live video stream of this program every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States at trumpetdaily.com or at rumble.com/trumpetdaily. We also have an evening replay at Live from America TV. That's also a Rumble channel. Just go to LFA TV every weekday evening, 8-ish, 9-ish. Sometimes it varies, but it's later on in the day. So a lot to get to, as per usual on Friday. We've got the World Watch segment that may bump the exhibit feature that we've had sitting on the docket all week. But if we get to World Watch today, we'll kick that feature on the exhibit to Monday. And we've also got some clips from the real president who uploaded his rebuttal to the fake president's address. I think it was actually even a video that came out before Joe Biden got up in front of Congress last night. So we'll play a couple clips from that, as well as Tucker's reaction and a few others along the way. But this was an angry, argumentative address. This was not a State of the Union. Some have joked it was the State of Ukraine. Here he talked more about that than he did the issues. He got into Snicker bars before he got into the border crisis. It's just unbelievable. And so combative and argumentative all the way through. I think he went on for just a little more than an hour. Sundance says Joe Biden shouting at America for an hour while muttering something about Snicker bars, snack food, and the need to send billions of dollars to Ukraine was essentially the gist. Following one of the most incoherent teleprompter reads in the history of presidential politics, one can only imagine how Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin were briefed on what took place in Washington, D.C. at 9 p.m. Suffice it to say, no sleep was lost amid the global community of leaders who smile as the USA influence collapses. Pretty good big picture overview coming from conservative Treehouse. The influence of America collapsing around the world. I mean, we talk often on this show about America itself collapsing, but he brings up a good point. What are these dictators abroad, what are they thinking as they watch this spectacle? As they watch this political food fight, well, it's worse than that, much, much worse. Because like Tucker points out, I mean, this is a vicious demagogue who throws his political rivals in prison, or at least tries to. Joe Obama. That's what we're witnessing. They had the Gold Star dad. His son died in Afghanistan because of the disastrous withdrawal coming from Joe Obama. And he heckled the dear leader's puppet last night, and then they arrested him. Hopefully he won't rot away in jail in the D.C. gulag as he awaits his trial. Gold Star father sacrificed his son, and they carted him out. The Spectator says President Joe Biden compared himself to Presidents Franklin Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, and his Republican opponents to Hitler, Nazis, and the Confederacy during Thursday night's State of the Union. How about that? I'm FDR, and they're Hitler. And that's why they won't name the guy, I guess. My predecessor. He says it over and over again. Politico, I think it was. The foe with no name. That was a headline, I think maybe at AP. The foe with no name. How weird is it? They wake up with Trump hate on the brain. They can't think of anything else. They can't talk about anything else. I mean, the strategy, this was a political campaign speech. And the strategy for this Democrat Party, the strategy is hate Trump. Hate MAGA. There you go. That's what they're campaigning on. That's what you'll hear these next 8 months. That Trump is Hitler. The foe with no name. Can't even name him. I mean, it's like Churchill with that leader, Adolf Hitler. Can't even name him. He's that bad. It says here, before 2 minutes were spent, Biden had lumped the grand old party in with Russian President Vladimir Putin for good measure. Having cracked a decent joke and demagogued his opponents, the president was off to the races. By the third minute, he'd reached his next most important goal, more money for the war in Ukraine. By minute four, he'd mentioned former President Donald Trump, though not by name, his predecessor, as he called him, loomed large in his remarks, coming up over a dozen times. It says, by the time he got to Sweden and Finland joining NATO, viewers might have wondered when he was planning to address the State of the Union. What about the State of the Union? The State of the Union is, as you see there at the headline, it's angry. We were treated to more angry Biden. Just like that speech with the really demonic background, the red backdrop. Remember that in Philadelphia, I think it was? I think I read something the other day where John Meacham wrote that speech. He's the historian over at MSNBC. So much hatred, vile hatred and filth. And they just spew it out on a daily basis. Nothing really to speak of about the actual state of the union. Listen to this. As Joe Biden goes from talking about Snickers to junk fees to fees for late payments on credit cards, and then he finally gets into the border crisis, which, according to voters in Virginia, that's the number one concern. But he just lumps that crisis in. The invasion. There are terrorists spilling across the border. And it takes the Daily Mail, a British paper, to chronicle all of these crimes. And not even the petty ones, the smaller ones, the shoplifting and so on, but violent crimes committed by illegal aliens. And Biden, I mean, he said the quiet part out loud last night when he referred to that woman, that young lady that had her skull crushed in Georgia. He said she was murdered by an illegal. That's the only thing that Nancy Pelosi and company could find fault with. Well, now he shouldn't have used the word illegal. It should have been undocumented. We don't want to be too hard on these illegal aliens. No, they're just undocumented. They'll get their documents eventually. The Daily Mail, one after another, we're working on a montage, hopefully based upon local reports. If you can even find them on Google, it just gets blotted out. All of these crimes. And then the rich millionaire talking heads from Northern Virginia, they just laugh at Virginians that would dare say that illegal immigration is their number one concern. How could they be concerned about that? They should be more concerned about the Hicks in West Virginia. This is Biden going from Snickers to junk fees to late fees, and then finally the border crisis. Clip 12.
You probably all saw that commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it. Look, I'm also getting rid of junk fees, those hidden fees at the end of your bill that are there without your knowledge. My administration announced we're cutting credit card late fees from $32 to $8. I'm not stopping there. My administration has proposed rules to make cable, travel, utilities, and online ticket sellers tell you the total price up front. So there are no surprises. It matters. And so does this. In November, my team began serious negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen.
They booed him when he got to the border security issue. Think of this, though. He's talking about late fees going from $32 to $8, and then Snicker bars, and then it comes around to the border crisis. Democrat leaders in New York are calling in the National Guard just to protect people that are traveling on the subway. The National Guard, they're going through bags and backpacks just to try to protect New Yorkers. And this fake president is talking about a candy bar. He literally said, the junk fees, it matters. And you saw all the Democrats, they rise in unison. Standing ovation, reducing a late fee from $32 to $8. And they give him a standing ovation. It matters, he said. And so does this. So does what? Well, so does the border crisis. You know, it's right there with your late fee on a MasterCard bill. There you go. How out of touch are these people, really and truly, with just what concerns ordinary Americans? He's getting booed. He's getting shouted down by Gold Star Fathers or Marjorie Taylor Greene for mispronouncing that young lady's name. Well, first she shouted him down for not saying her name. Then he says it and he gets it confused with the football coach. It's just, and then Joe Scarborough thinks that this is like Churchillian, this address. That's got, like Sundance says, that's got to be the goofiest thing of all. To just pretend, to go along with all the fakery and the phoniness. This is Tucker's reaction to Biden's speech, number 11.
But the most interesting fact of the speech was the emphasis. There was not a meaningful word for the entire duration about the things that actually matter to people who live here, like crime or inflation or fentanyl or the foreign army now occupying our country. Joe Biden doesn't care. There was no upside for you in any of the things that he said.
He went on for an hour and he didn't talk about anything that Americans really and truly care about. Donald Trump, as I said, for his part, he had his rebuttal to what the fake president would talk about last night. This is clip 8.
Likewise, the sight of a feeble Joe Biden talking about shrinkflation, the term he uses, is one of the most ridiculous things this country has ever seen. Shrinkflation is just another way of saying inflation. It means that you're losing a lot of money because these people don't know what they're doing. It was all caused by crooked Joe Biden and the people that surround him. And they are radical left Marxists and fascists and communists and socialists. We have people running our country, the likes of which we have never seen before.
And so their strategy is to cover up the truth. That's how Joe Biden can say that crime is actually, the statistics are actually dropping. Yeah, it's getting so much better under his reign, under his regime. They lie on the one hand, and then, of course, on the other, it's hate Trump. This Spectator piece giving the minute-by-minute blow, just going through the first few minutes of what the fake president spoke about, it says, but then he finally got there, finally, in minute 6, a domestic issue, though it wasn't the border, crime, inflation, or the economy that made the cut. Nope. In minute 6, we were treated to a dramatic retelling of January 6th. Of course. Of course! January 6th. The over 3-year-old riot was, and that's even debatable whether it was a riot, but we'll leave that aside. The over 3-year-old riot was a dagger in the throat of American democracy, he menacingly intoned. The darkest of days. Spectator says, Biden as FDR, Biden as savior of the Union, Republicans as Confederate Nazi Russians. The hysterical histrionics of partisan historian John Meacham, here's where I saw it, it's in my notes, author of the president's infamous Independence Hall speech, laced in and out of the president's address. It says, though the 67-minute speech, through the 67-minute speech, the octogenarian struck an often angry tone, showcasing the whisper and yell that has characterized his speaking style since his 2016 return to the national stage. Switching over to the American Thinker, this author says, Joe Biden's State of the Union was unlike anything I've seen before. This is a guy following politics since the 1980s. No president has ever been so maniacally wired, periodically incoherent, or viciously angry. That was style. The substance was worse. Biden opened by calling Trump a Nazi, shifted to Ukraine, promised to stamp out insurrections, and attacked Republicans, and then ended by calling for nonpartisanship and comedy. Yeah, we're all coming together, aren't we? Unity! It says here, throughout it all, he lied and then lied some more. This was a dark Brandon campaign speech, not a State of the Union. Listen to Joe Biden as he did bring up a few popular Democrat talking points. You know, got to raise those taxes. Here's clip four.
I propose the minimum tax for billionaires at 25%, just 25%. You know what that would raise? That would raise $500 billion over the next 10 years. And imagine what that could do for America.
We're sitting on a $2 trillion deficit every year. And he's talking about $500 billion over 10 years and thinking about what that could do for America. How about reducing spending? Congress came together. We got some more bipartisan legislation. That's quite often the case when it comes to spending. What was it, like $500 billion? Yeah, I guess Mike Johnson's right on board with that. Let's spend and spend. After all, we don't want a partial government shutdown of any kind. We wouldn't be able to function without our national parks. This is from Reason, the website. It says, what constitutes an emergency? According to Congress's new spending package, research equipment and facilities for the National Science Foundation is an emergency. So are the 2024 Democratic National Committee Convention and the Republican National Committee Convention. Dems and Republicans alike, everything's an emergency. Why? So is NASA space exploration. That's an emergency. It says, by classifying all these line items as emergencies, Congress can get hundreds of millions of taxpayer funding for them with reduced oversight. It's all about getting more taxpayer funding for their pet projects and programs and without any oversight. So, you know, it's easy to pick on the fake president and say, how out of touch can you be to talk about Snickers and late fees? Well, this is what they all do. The NASA Space Exploration Project, that's an emergency. And so is the Republican National Committee Convention. It's an emergency. We've got to get money in there. This is the way they all think. This is the way they all operate. No wonder the approval rating, not just for the fake president, but for everyone in Congress, is so low. Listen to Joe Biden as he explains how effective the COVID vaccine has been. Clip two.
The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does.
He actually said the vaccine that saved us from COVID, it's now being used to beat back cancer. I don't even know where you go with that. But to just look at what it's done with respect to the pandemic, it's enough of a story itself. If people would just cover it, all of the side effects, all of the sudden deaths, More lies. Clip five.
A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care.
Liar, said someone in the chamber. There are a few who are finally courageous enough to speak out, to expose the lies. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's another one. But listen during this part in the speech where he talks about just how safe it is in American cities. You talk about a whopper of a lie. Clip three.
To state the obvious, all Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. The year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then. Through no.
There's the gold star dad who's not having it. His son, a U.S. Marine, sacrificed his life in Afghanistan. This is an administration, and you got to lump in Obama. This is an administration with a lot of blood on its hands. In the Wall Street Journal, Daniel Henninger, he says, President Biden gives his State of the Union speech Thursday evening. This is from yesterday. But here is the one word version, unhappy. Not only Joe Biden, but all the architects of his presidency must be beyond frustrated. They've done everything right by the modern Democratic playbook. Target needs throughout the population, inject billions of dollars into them. And, you know, the Republicans help them do that. Like I was just saying, everything's an emergency. Even the forthcoming conventions, we've got to funnel hundreds of millions into those projects. And we've got to do it now. And we've got to do it without oversight. It says here, but the country's culture, the stuff of daily life, is negative. Ask people to look in any direction, and what they see at best isn't the rainbow. These Democrat operatives, they're beside themselves. How can people be so unhappy when we've done so many good things for this country? KJP saying the other day, he's done more in 3 years than most presidents do in 2 terms. They believe. I mean, they're believers in fundamental transformation. It says, did anyone ever expect to live in an America with a national shoplifting plague where all brand name products in drugstores are behind lock and key? Is this really happening? That's just become a fact of daily life in America. The streets of cities are filled with mentally ill, homeless, and there are complex reasons for that, but they are there, living in the stoned out filth of tent compounds. It says one consequence of progressive theories on bail, prosecutable crimes, and police enforcement is young men, freed of constraints, randomly shooting or stabbing other young men. Gives the example of that Kansas City Chiefs parade not that long ago. One of the most read articles in this newspaper recently described how the minimum wage going up this year in 22 states is driving small restaurants out of business. They can't afford to pay staff because the minimum wage keeps going higher. All of your Democrats and Republicans in Congress, and they're convinced this is helping the little man, and it's driving the little restaurants out of business. How about that? It says here, Kathy Hochul just ordered the National Guard and state police into New York City's subway system. One of the most read, I read that part. Immigration policy is also complicated, but what isn't is the more than 4 million border encounters with illegal migrants waiting across the Rio Grande the past 2 fiscal years while the Biden administration did next to nothing. This is another bit from his speech. Sorry, this is President Trump talking about the border invasion in his rebuttal from yesterday, clip 6.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created. All the while, they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country. Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him Remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. Safe Third Agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country. As soon as he got in, Crooked Joe and his radical left lunatics deliberately dismantled each and every one of those policies that were so good that gave us this best border.
Yeah, and people like Rich Lowry have gone through every executive action that this fake administration did from the beginning, from day one, to open up the border to anyone and everyone from all over the world. This is where MTG calls him out during the speech last night, clip 1.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress and the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win, he viewed it as it'll be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him, it's not about me. I'd be a winner, not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
Having lost children myself. It always comes back to him, this man. It always comes back to Bo. He can identify. He knows what it's like. It's hard to even wrap your mind around what he just said right there. He mispronounces Lincoln Riley's name. Instead calls him or her Lincoln Riley, who's the, I think, the USC football coach. But then, and there's some debate as to what he was even saying here, he talks about her dying because of an illegal, but then he says, how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals to her parents? Some have taken that to mean that, well, there's illegals that are dying. But he says the words are the words. Who knows if he got it mixed up? Thousands of people being killed by illegals? It's pretty amazing what we're witnessing. What an attack. I mean, America is under attack from these traitors, these communist insurrectionists. President Trump has it right on that play clip 7.
By the time his term is up, we can have close to 20 million people in our country. And we have no idea from where they come. We have no idea who they are. They have no identification. Many come from mental institutions. Many come from prisons. They're terrorists. We have a calamity the likes of which we've never seen before. No matter what Crooked Joe says, his actions prove his priority is to import a colossal new illegal alien population and let them all stay. My priority is securing our border and sending Crooked Joe's illegals back home.
That's Donald Trump from yesterday. Switching back to this American Thinker piece, it says after this unnerving display of anger, speaking of Biden, hysteria, vengefulness, hate, and dishonesty, Biden closed his speech this way: hate, anger, revenge, retribution are among the oldest of ideas, but you can't lead America with ancient ideas that only take us back. That's especially rich. It says further on, a coked up demagogue is not what America needs, but it's all that the Democrat Party has to offer. Listen to Tucker, his reaction to this so-called State of the Union address, clip 10.
But Joe Biden is also a cruel and vicious demagogue, a man who has no problem at all denouncing his fellow Americans or putting his political opponents in prison, as he has done. And that was all on display tonight. That was possibly the darkest, most un-American speech ever given by an American president. In fact, it wasn't a speech. It was a rant, entirely lacking in decency or generosity to his fellow Americans. In Joe Biden's very first sentence, he compared Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. He did not describe Trump as the other party's candidate, which he is, a political opponent in a country that's had peaceful elections for 250 years. No. According to Joe Biden, Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. He is an existential threat to freedom and democracy. If he wins, you will die and so will your country. That was the first sentence. But that was really the last time he mentioned the United States at all.
Perhaps the darkest, most vicious presidential speech in history. That's from Tucker. We wrote in the March issue of the Trumpet magazine, if you don't have a subscription, make sure you call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet, the 800 number 1-866-930-3024. But we write, they will do anything. They, speaking of these radical communist leftist Democrats, they will stoop to any level, contravene any standard, trash any reputation, commit any injustice, bend any rule, tell any lie, and break any law, including the Constitution of the United States of America. They will commit treason. In fact, they already have. So they won't back down now. 2024 means total political and legal war. The war in 24, as we keep saying, I mentioned at the start that not all in the regime media reacted to the State of the Union speech, saying it was divisive and angry. The morning meltdown. This is one day where there was no meltdown at the morning meltdown. Play clip 15.
Well, I mean, had a pulse. He had Frazier's left hook. I mean, I have never seen one side put in so many uncomfortable positions as the Republicans were last night. This was a tour de force by Joe Biden. There were just so many beautiful lines here. Again, delivered beautifully. He just keeps surprising people. He just keeps winning. He just keeps outperforming.
Is he up to it? Is Joe Biden up to it? And he answered that resoundingly last night with his performance.
I thought he just completely blew away the Biden is too old issue last night. There was no question that he was vigorous and on top of every issue.
I've been working in politics for 30 years. I have never had a night last night where my phone is just exploding with people who yesterday were saying, Biden campaign? What campaign? There is no campaign saying, oh my God, he knocked it out of the park. I'm not challenging this guy. Yeah. I'm not challenging this guy and the record he has or the vigor he has, the experience he has. And then last night, I mean, that was even a bigger tour de force. Like it really.
No doubt about it. It was his best speech of his presidency by far. Strongest speech.
No doubt about it. Tour de force, they say. Sundance says what was even more goofy was the pretending amid the corporate media that Joe Biden said stuff that was discernible and or potentially fitting the office of the executive. It's hard to live in a country where pretending is the new normal in politics and media. So much fakery, just like that trumpet cover brought out. Last summer, I think it was, pretending all the way through. Listen to this exchange. This was on a hot mic. It's Jerry Nadler saying to Joe Biden, well, they're not going to say you're cognitively impaired anymore. Not after that fiery speech. This is clip 16.
Nobody's going to talk about cognitive impairment now.
Yeah. You were on fire tonight.
I wish sometimes there was cognitive impairment.
You are on fire tonight. I mean, everything's perfect with your mental acuity. If that's the case, can Robert Hur go after him now? He didn't indict him because he said if he gets into a courtroom, he'll win favor from a jury that knows he's mentally impaired. Now it's perfect. The pretending continues. He's the perfect puppet, as we've said so many times before. And the dear leader, he's got his legs propped up on the desk. I mean, there's some things that haven't gone so well for the dear leader. We've certainly noted that over the past many weeks. But he's still there with the earpiece, calling all the shots, carrying out the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. For much more on that, make sure that you request America Under Attack. You can either call the 800 number, and again, there's no cost or obligation. Beautiful hardcover book, over 200 pages. Just call our operators, or you can order a copy at our website, thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily News, Bible Prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. go to trumpetdaily.com.
On March 5th, China announced a 7.2% increase in military spending for 2024 and officially adopted tougher language against Taiwan. A finance ministry document made the near $232 billion budget increase official. Then, a government report mentioned peaceful reunification with Taiwan, saying that China must be firm in taking the island. A Chinese anti-secession law states Beijing must take Taiwan, whether peacefully or by force. The U.S. is Taiwan's main supporter, but the Biden administration is not likely to stop a Chinese takeover. Should Joe Biden leave office in January 2025, Beijing may be forced to wait much longer to take the island. Tuesday's announcements show a greater Chinese urgency to follow through on its threats. As Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry wrote in Taiwan Betrayal, America's weakness will lead to Taiwan's fall. Catholic bishops in Germany declared the right-wing political party Alternative for Deutschland as unelectable for Christians at a February 22nd meeting in Augsburg. Considering the church's recent restraint from political commentary, the move is unusual. For the past 25 years, Catholic bishops have largely refrained from any assessments of political parties, but the head of the bishops' conference said that the declaration against the AfD was adopted unanimously. The Trumpet has long predicted that the Catholic Church would become increasingly political and even rally behind one leader. To learn more, read The Holy in the Holy Roman Empire. North Korea has sent more than 3 million artillery shells to Russia since September, the South Korean defense minister said on February 28. The deliveries began after North Korean leader Kim Jong-un met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in September. Russia is growing increasingly belligerent. Recently leaked Russian military documents reveal that Russia has a surprisingly low threshold to justify the usage of tactical nuclear weapons. The justifications include the destruction of at least 3 large surface warships, the loss of 3 or more airfields, the destruction of 30% of nuclear attack submarines, or simultaneous strikes on certain command centers. The day after these documents leaked, President Putin delivered his State of the Nation speech. He stated that if Western nations deepen their involvement in Ukraine's defense, it may prompt Russia to use nuclear weapons. The Trumpet believes nuclear World War III will not be started by Russia's war on Ukraine. Nevertheless, nuclear war is approaching, and Russia will be a major player in that unprecedentedly devastating conflict. To learn more about Russia's role in end-time prophecy, read Russia and China in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There you have it, the latest installment of our World Watch feature every Friday, generally speaking, every Friday on this show. That last bit there about Vladimir Putin's State of the Nation address, I wonder if he had anything to say about Snicker bars. Or speaking of Putin and his nation, the city of Moscow, I wonder if he has to send in the National Guard just to protect Russians on the subway system there in Moscow. Tucker had some commentary on that after his recent visit to Russia. I'm just asking. I'm just wondering. Look at how steep the decline has been for the nations of Israel these past several years. The United States, Britain. It really does come right out from this book, Herbert Armstrong's classic text on Bible prophecy. We're witnessing prophecy unfold, and it's accelerating. The pace of it is accelerating. If you don't have this book, I mean, this really is like the centerpiece of just understanding what we need to understand Bible prophecy. A third of the Bible is prophecy, and I've talked recently about the sure word of prophecy. So if you don't have that book by Herbert Armstrong, make sure you call our operators today and request the United States and Britain in prophecy. We've been emphasizing to the students here on campus of late, we've been talking about, you know, whatever the activity is, whether it's sports or a formal event or just sitting down at your desk and plowing through your studies, to just bring energy and even personality to that task. Yeah, it has to be channeled, and there's plenty of emotion in this world that's just out of control and really a zeal not according to knowledge, like Paul says in Romans 10. But on the other hand, as I've noted recently, God and Jesus Christ are emotional beings. Their emotions are in perfect control, of course, but they do mourn over the sins of our nations. They rejoice over the repentance of a sinner. They punish in righteous indignation. They do all these things. They demonstrate what it's like to have a perfect combination between godly love and emotion, godly emotion to go with it. Love, of course, is the fulfilling of God's law. It's obedience to God's laws. God is love. That's what it says in 1 John 4. Notice what it says in Hebrews 7. This is speaking of Christ. It says who, Hebrews 5, sorry, and verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. There are instances in the scripture where Jesus Christ sweat blood. Here it says that at times he offered up his prayers with strong crying and tears. Strong crying! That's someone who's really pouring their heart into even their relationship with God the Father. Verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned how to obey even more because of the approach, the attitude that he took. It says in verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. So what a perfect example he set for us. What a perfect example. Stepping on my wire. There we go. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says that we should follow in his steps. Follow in that example. Follow the example that Jesus Christ set. It's fine to weep, to mourn, to rejoice. Even an occasional show of righteous indignation. Jesus certainly showed that in John 2 when he walked into the temple and he saw all of the money changers there. He started kicking over tables and whipping people. In John 11, the account there where he raised Lazarus from the dead, it says there that Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. He wept because of the faithless people. I mean, they were all weeping, but for the wrong reason. They thought Lazarus wasn't going to come back. And Jesus saw their faith or lack thereof, and he cried over it. There's the account in John 7 where Jesus was preaching there on the last great day, and it says that he cried out. He cried for any man to come and listen to the truth. And you can study into that Greek word for cried and see that it means scream. I mean, Jesus was someone that spoke with passion. He spoke with inspiration. When he was gone, it says the hearts of the disciples burned. And others said, nobody's ever spoken like this man. This is from an article we had at the Trumpet, going back to 2009. Some men may think it's not masculine to show emotion, but here Jesus Christ was not only feeling these strong, deep emotions toward these people, but he even expressed how he was feeling to this group of men. He's talking about, I think it's Matthew 9 and verse 36, where it says that Christ was moved with compassion because he saw the people wandering about with no leadership, no shepherd, sheep with no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. He didn't just move along. and ignore them because they were struggling or suffering. He actually expressed compassion and empathy. There's another instance where they brought little children before him and the disciples wanted to shoo them away. And he said, no, I want to hold these children. For of such is the kingdom of God. Coming back to this 2009 article. What's more, it says Christ was probably teaching them a lot about the passion and emotion that they would need to do the work of God. They, the disciples. Intense emotions often accompanied Christ's great miraculous acts. That's true. You see it throughout the scriptures. I know the world likes to portray him as kind of a soft-spoken, effeminate, girlish kind of individual. He wasn't that at all. That's not the kind of individual that walks into the temple and starts kicking over tables and grabbing whips to drive out the money changers. Even nature itself teaches us that it's a shame. It's shameful for a man to have long hair. That's 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not saying that. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Christ wasn't effeminate. He wasn't some long-haired hippie. He was strong. He was robust. He was healthy. He was energetic. And he was filled with emotions like compassion and grief and joy and righteous indignation. All of it. It says here, Jesus did not put his emotions to death. He controlled them, expressed them, and used them to serve God's work. That's what God wants of us. Control those emotions. You shouldn't suppress them. Control those emotions. Use those emotions and use them to serve God's work. Herbert Armstrong, he has this quote about how that every speaker, I think I gave you some of it last time that we were into this study, but he said every speaker needs to speak with inspiration. You look at some of the speech assignments we have in our AC Spokesman Club gathering, and you know, there's inspire, there's an attack speech, there's a heart-to-heart. I mean, these are emotional messages that, well, I mean, obviously we want to construct the message in a way where the content is most important. You want to organize it to where you can deliver content that people can really take and use and run with. But like Mr. Armstrong said, I mean, it needs to be delivered with inspiration. We need to move people. One of the assignments is stir them to action. Paul even said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, stir up the Spirit of God. I mean, the Spirit of God, as Galatians 5 brings out, is the Spirit of love and joy and goodness and peace and patience and temperance and faith. We've got to bring it. We've got to bring some energy and passion to that kind of godly personality, to that kind of godly power. It says, imagine if you were privileged to witness these moments, from seeing how Jesus would utter a prayer of healing to seeing how he handled the frustrations of dealing with the Pharisees. He would have exuded so much personality, enthusiasm, joy, compassion, vigor, energy, grief, and empathy. You would have seen him smile a lot, laugh heartily, weep heavily, sigh in frustration. It says he would not have been some kind of soft-spoken figure. Not at all. That's a refreshing take on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's all that we have time for on today's show. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We appreciate some of you joining us for every show this week. And we'll see you next time.